Lifehouse Church, it is great to have you guys here, us proud, chosen few. There's got to be some movie line, us few, us band of brothers and sisters. Thank you guys. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. As you guys well know, we are in the middle of a series called I'm Convinced. And we've got four mini-series within that series, and we're in the middle of the third mini-series entitled Jesus, a Real Superhero. And so far, we've been laying out the case that Jesus himself believed that he was God in the flesh. He made multiple claims to divinity, even using the sacred term Yahweh, which we translate I am. It was the very term, the word that God gave to himself in the burning bush. And Jesus identified himself with that name, Yahweh, multiple times. He also used the title Son of Man, which does not just pertain to his humanity. Actually, it is a reference to a verse in the book of Daniel where God himself shows up in a vision and calls himself the Son of Man. And not only did Jesus firmly believe that he was God in the flesh, but the people that knew him the best believed that he was God. I mean, you know, one of you or one of me, I could say, I'm God. And you guys might just say, sure. That's nice. But these guys believed he was God. Before any mythology crept into the historical records of Jesus' life, they were reciting in these ancient creeds, affirming the deity of Jesus. That was just the first message. And then Bob takes the stage and says the real, unique, superhero quality of Jesus is that he was sinless. I mean, if there's any true adage that we could share with one another, it's that nobody is perfect. Yeah, nobody's perfect. And then Jesus shows up and says, you know, I'm sinless, I'm perfect. He even challenged his detractors, the Pharisees, hey, can any of you prove me guilty of sin? And they were mute. They could not say one thing that Jesus did wrong. And then he took it one step further. He says, not only am I sinless, but I can forgive other people of their sin. And the crippled guy was lowered in front of him, and those same detractors were there sneering at Jesus. And he said, what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or pick up your mat and walk? Well, we all know it's easier to say your sins are forgiven, not harder. It's harder to do. But it's easier to say that. And so he says, hey, so that you may know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sin, I tell you, pick up your mat and get out of here. And that's what he did. Well, I would like to introduce to you another superhero quality of Christ, which also just so happens to be a built-in verification test of Christ's claims. Yeah. You see, Jesus really set himself up with this one. What I'm about to share with you will either expose Jesus as a fraud or affirm him as the only legitimate superhero in all of the universe. So I hope I have your attention. Jesus repeatedly made the most audacious claims to being personally able to answer your private prayers. I mean, really. Yeah, the things that you pray, and he said you do it in the closet, you know, you don't do it out in the street so that everybody can see, you do it in the closet. I know what you're saying, and I can answer those prayers. Really? Yeah. Listen to this. Then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. Which, you know, when a guy can't lie because he can't sin, he's always telling the truth. So you figure when he says, I'm telling you the truth, that means he's really telling you the truth. And this is what he tells us. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Wow. You think that's something? There's more. Look at this next one. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. I mean, how can you make a promise like that? I mean, there's a lot of people out there. You think this is really going too far, Jesus? There's more. Look at this. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Oh, how about them cookies? Yeah, but I've just gotten started. Look at this one. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Guys, there are over 20 verses in the four Gospels where Jesus is making these types of audacious claims to being able to answer your personal prayers. In fact, code word handout. We're going to do a handout here so that you can see a sampling of these audacious claims. Ask me for anything you want and I will do it. I mean, that's better than having your own personal Superman. If it's true. You see, these kinds of claims are verifiable, testable. You could actually pray to Jesus and see if he does it. Right? According to what he's saying. When I was in Nepal, I talked to many Hindus about faith in Christ. Now, Hinduism believes in thousands of gods, okay? And each god has his own speciality. Brahma is the god of creation. Shiva is the god of destruction. Vishnu is the god of protection. And so on and so forth into ad nauseum. Well, when in a conversation with a Hindu, I would frequently ask, so in your lifetime so far, have any of your gods answered any of your prayers? And to date, anyway, I plan on going back to Nepal again, so this might change, but to date, every Hindu that I asked that question to said no. And then I would say, well, you know what they call a God that cannot answer prayer, don't you? They go, no. Well, you call him a false God. I mean, seriously, guys, if what good is a God if he has absolutely no means to communicate that he hears you, that he cares about you, that he can help you or deliver you in any way? You might as well be praying for a Tyrannosaurus Rex. You'd get better results if you were praying to a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Because, I mean, what good is he? My favorite one. So, come on. Can Jesus answer prayer like he promises? I'd like to answer that question with a few examples from my own life. But before I do, I would like to respond to some of our narrow, narcissistic interpretations of those verses that I just showed you. Okay? Here's one of our first narrow and narcissistic responses or thoughts when we read verses like that. One, guys, you've got to remember, I've got to remember that Jesus is God, not a genie. He is not a genie, because a genie is under the control of the person in possession of the lamp. Rub the lamp, genie comes out, hey man, this is my first wish, get it done. No, we're not the ones in control. We're not the ones calling the shots. We're not God. He is. And that's got to be understood. Okay, that's got to be clear. We don't get to tell God what to do. We ask Him what we would like Him to do and leave the response up to His discretion. Because He's God, we're not. That was number one. Number two, because He's God and we're not, that means no or not yet are acceptable answers to prayer. I mean, we like to think, hey, I prayed it. That means it's got to be a yes. No, again, you're assuming control. No, He has the prerogative to say no or not yet. I mean, we may not like His answer. We may not even be able to understand why would God in a million years ever answer a prayer like this. We may not get it because His ways are not our ways. He knows the end from the beginning. We don't. And so we have got to submit to God's wisdom on whether or not He answers our prayers in the way we asked Him to. And then number three, Jesus is a God of logic and law. He will not and cannot answer stupid prayers. And boy, do we throw out some whoppers. Yes, it is true. Jesus will not make a rock too big for Him to lift because it's illogical. It just won't happen. It's like, hey, God, can you make me a square circle? He can't do that because it's illogical. It's a contradiction in terms. Nor will He answer prayers to make you into God. Not going to happen. The position's already taken. You know? Jesus will never approve of your sin, no matter how many times you ask Him. He won't force someone to like you, and He won't force someone to marry you. Sorry, guys. It's not going to happen. God is good, moral, logical, and He honors our free will. Those disclaimers have got to be understood before we enter into this realm of answered prayer. And guys, here, even embedded in the promises that I share with you, embedded in those very promises are conditions that need to be met before Jesus is on the hook, if you will. We won't go into them now. In fact, here is your assignment for this week. Read through those verses. Find the conditions that are implied or explicitly stated in His promise to answer prayer. Find them. And then begin to align your life to live according to them. Align your life. Live according to those conditions. Now I know what you're thinking. I mean, if your synapses are going and you're connecting the dots, you're saying, well, right. With all of these stipulations and conditions to answered prayer, how can we ever know if Jesus is the one answering the prayers or if it's merely coincidence that the prayer gets answered the way you want? Well, here's how. When the answer is nothing short of miraculous, let me put it this way. When chalking it up to coincidence simply won't cut it, or like when it would take more faith to believe in chance than to believe in Christ, this is where I feel like I need to give you some examples. All right? Snuggle in. It's story time. So here's the first one. I got saved on October 18th, 1984. It is now Thanksgiving week. And I take a kid to Des Moines, to his parents' place in Des Moines. I'm a, you know, first-year college student, new driver and all that, you know, relatively. And here I am in the big city. I drop off this kid at his parents' place, and I'm now going to be driving to my brother Eric's place, who lived in Des Moines at the time. And I got horribly lost, and I had no idea where I was, and so it just kind of came to me. It's like, I actually believe in Jesus now. I just gotten saved. I now have a relationship with Christ I never had before. And I thought, why don't I pray? I'll pray and ask God to help me find my brother's place. And so I did. I get done praying, and I look up, and there is a church building with the big lighted cross that says, Jesus Saves. Big old lighted cross. I thought, well, that's got to be a good sign. And so I pull in there. It's in the dark at night. There's this guy back there working on his car. It's like a scene from a movie. I tell you, I go up to him, and I tell him, hey, do you know where this address is? And he goes, never heard of it. He said, there's a phone booth. You know, there were no cell phones at that time, guys. So I go to the phone booth, and I call Eric, and he says, well, where are you? And I tell him the streets, and he goes, oh, you're in a bad part of town. You want to get yourself out of there, get out of the parking lot, turn this direction, turn that direction. Okay, and he told me the direction. He says, got it. So I get to the parking lot, and I'm about to turn when I realize that the direction Eric told me to go is the wrong way on a one-way street. I thought, oh, great. You know, and so I didn't know what to do. I had to turn with the flow of traffic, obviously, and once again became horribly and miserably lost. I even remember driving down this dark alley, and a kid carrying a baseball bat runs in front of the car. I kid you not. I was like, nope. And so I'm turning this way, and I'm turning that way, and I turn down the street, and I look over my shoulder, and there's my brother's house. And to this day, I have no idea how I found his house. I would say God himself personally guided my turning this way and that way, and I ended up smack dab in front of my brother's house. And that was the first time in my life when God really came through and specifically answered a prayer that was so profound to me, I thought, wow, this thing is real. This whole faith in Jesus thing, this is for real. I got some more. Financial crises in life. I tell you, when you're living as a domestic missionary, and I don't know if you guys realize, I'm a domestic missionary. I live off of the generosity of other believers when they remember. And so when you're a missionary, when you're living as a missionary, you're always at the brink of a financial crisis. Okay, that's just been your life, and it's the way that we've lived, Kristen and I, for the last 27 years. Okay, and so I have in my computer a list of some of the insane ways that God has provided for us in a point of a crisis, a financial crisis. And I there was so many I wanted to share. Some of them were so good. They brought tears to my eyes as I reread them. I'm just going to share with you the latest one. Okay, this is the latest one. It was last year. It was August 2016. And I'm going to read right from my journal. So word for word, here it is. Are you ready? Yet another short check situation. What that means is, you know, if you have a regular job, you get a check, and your check is a certain amount. But when you're a missionary, if people don't give, you don't get. And so I get short checked. You know, if my check was supposed to be $3,000, I'd get less than that by some amount. Okay? That's short check. So our check was $1,000 less than it was supposed to be. It wiped out our emergency fund and left us in a high-need situation since we were also taking the kids on a much-needed vacation to Myrtle Beach. And we had just invested in energy-saving upgrades on the house. Since so many of my ministry partners were not remembering to give, I sent a paper copy of our newsletter and a handwritten note to everyone who hadn't opened their electronic copy. And we prayed a lot. Nothing happened. Isn't that the story of things, you know? If we just stopped there, we would say, let's just go home and play video games. Because so because so often, you know, we just quit. But at first, nothing happened. The vacation came and went, all on a credit card. The yellow tube, or yellow blue energy folks, they came and they went, money gone. And I was realizing what a big mistake I had made. And that's really the spot where we judge God too quickly. You know, I think the person that gets judged the most, not the president, though I oftentimes think it is, no, I think it's God. I think we judge God all the time. And this would be one of those situations where I was tempted to judge God, saying, God, you failed me. I then went and got the mail. And in it was a thank you card from Michael Grendy. I guess it had been 25 years since I had the honor of leading him to Christ while in college. In his thank you note, he had written a check to thank me and to celebrate the occasion. But then he forgot to send it until he got my newsletter and the note. He then sent it to me, and his check was written out for exactly $1,000. God is amazing. That's how I end. God is amazing. That's just one. Oh, wow. We should have a story time. Sit down and share stories of what God has done. It is incredible. Here's another one. Material needs. It only stands to reason if you're constantly being short-checked or at a brink of financial crisis, you've got material needs. Here's one I didn't even remember until I reread this. This is great. Kristen, you're going to love this one. Money was so scarce that we weren't making budget. Our clothes washer's dial had been broken for months. The spinner had popped out, and the water made a terrible noise as it entered the machine. The dryer only worked intermittently, and then the timer stopped working altogether. And Kristen is pregnant, making washing and hanging our clothes on a clothesline exceptionally difficult. Okay, that's the situation. Kristen and I were both praying for God to provide us with some relief from all of this. Without any knowledge of our situation, our friend Carrie Peterson called and asked if we needed a washer and dryer. An elderly lady that lived next door to her wanted to get rid of hers for $50. We looked at them that day, and even though the dryer was very old, it worked. You know, beggars can't be choosers. You know, it worked. And the washer was newer than ours, so we bought them. While discussing how to get them to our place, I mentioned Dan Cox. She knew him and then asked if we were Christians. When we said yes, she began to cry. She had been praying for God to place these machines with a needy, worthy family. When Dan Cox dropped off the machines, he also gave us an envelope from the lady who gave us our check back. We got them. Is that not something? Okay, what an amazing coincidence. I don't think so. It just doesn't fit the facts. How about help in our time of need? Yeah, you like that? Help during our time of need. Okay, so, you know, if it's not money, if it's not stuff, then it's situations in life that are over our heads. Here's one from my journal again. Our Chevy van needed new brake pads, but summer scout camp prevented me from changing them. But by Wednesday, the day of family night at scout camp, the brakes had gotten so bad that Kristen couldn't bear driving it. Remember that? I don't either. It's amazing. I love Bart. I'm glad I wrote it down. So I passed on some responsibilities at camp and drove home to change the brakes myself, even though I hadn't done that job in 18 years. I prayed that God would help me get this done in 3 hours so I could get back to camp and participate in the Scout family night. Well, after spending an hour of running to Lowe's twice for parts and reading websites on how to do this, I began to work on my first tire, and it didn't look good. It was a desperate situation. Right then, a fellow believer and friend, Nick Siwasi, just showed up for no particular reason. It just so happens that Nick changes brake pads more often than he brushes his teeth. Hey, man, I'm just reading it the way I wrote it, okay? He just got right in there and changed the brakes on both tires and was done by 4 p.m., an hour earlier than what I had prayed for. Isn't that something? After reading that and deciding I wanted to share that one, I Facebooked Nick, and he said, I remember that day, that I'm glad I could be a part of it. So, wow. What do we have on time? If we're doing good on time, I was going to share. How are we doing? Yes, we got the time. Okay. So I'm going to include this one then. So we don't have a screen for that. You could just go black. Or you could leave that one up there if you like. Okay. I know that for a single guy or gal, one of the big, huge things on your heart and mind is getting married. So I figured I'd share how God uniquely worked in my life in answering prayers to hook me up with Kristen. Okay, so like most young men, we usually have a number of people in mind that we think could make a great potential spouse. I had three. And I knew that that wasn't quite the Lord's will for me to be reflecting on three different girls and saying, well, you know, what do you think? That one's got this. And so I said, okay, Lord, you're going to have to make it clear if one or none of these women are to, you know, ever be a potential spouse. Okay. And I won't get into all the details of how the other two kind of got off the list, but they did. And it was very clear to me in a way that really I think only I would really get and really appreciate. I just knew they weren't on the list. They just didn't qualify. Even though they were wonderful sisters in Christ, wonderful, but it was very clear to me. So here it is. I believe it's like around January, and I know that I'm going to be going to a leadership training program, and I know that this whole issue of thinking about a potential wife was just distracting, and I didn't want that to be going on when I was at LT. And so I said, okay, Lord, this is how it's going to work. You know, one of those honest conversations with God time. I said, okay, Lord, if Kristen, because it had been narrowed down to Kristen, if Kristen is to be the one for me, then you are going to have to divinely orchestrate events such that I could spend some time with her without me manipulating those events, without me kind of working it out so that, hey, how about that? We happen to be at the same place at the same time. I said, you're going to have to do that, God. Okay? And in my mind at the time, based on experience from last year's leadership training program, and that is, means it's time for Jay to leave, but he has already left. All right. Based on the experience from last year, I thought we should get paired up to go out and share the gospel on Wednesday nights. That was the good gospel time. And that's so I thought, that's it, God. You pair me up with Kristen, and I will know that she's the one for me. So that was kind of like a fleece kind of thing for me. I don't recommend it all the time, but for me and God, we had this agreement, if you will. LT happens. Assignments are made who's going to be paired up to go out sharing. And I did not get paired up with Kristen. And I was like, And I think that at this time, I look back, you know, hindsight's 20/20. I look back and I think that that was the real test of my heart that God wanted to put me through. Because as a result of that situation, I think it was a real grace of God. I just said, okay, she's not the one. And I put her out of my heart and mind as far as a potential, you know, candidate for marriage. I just put her out. She was like, great sister, love a lot of qualities in her life. She's not the one for me because God has spoken. And so LT goes on. I think it's like the second or third week. I'm not sure when you got your job, but somehow she got a job that was, you know, it's D.C. It takes like an hour to get anywhere. And her job just happened to be en route to my job at the Defense Mapping Agency. That's where I worked at. So I worked at the DMAHDC, and on the way was her place of employment, and she needed a ride. And so I became the normal, natural person to start giving her rides. So I was giving her and this other sister a ride to work every day and then a ride back. And it was about a week into this that I just kind of like, it's almost like smelling salts, you know. I just realized, whoa, I had been praying that God would put me in a situation to really get to know Kristen once a week on a Wednesday going out sharing. And here it is. I am now in a situation where I am actually, you know, not just one-on-one, but I actually even have the protection of a third sister there twice a day, Monday through Friday. And so I got to see her with Bedhead. I got to see her right after a long, tiring day. You know, we got to see each other at our best and our worst. And maybe not our ultimate best, but, you know, early morning, after work, you know, and I really began to, I became convinced, whoa, she's the one for me. And obviously we are now all know, wow, I was right. But but here's the deal. I prayed. I laid out this fleece, if you will, if you know what I mean by that. You know, it's like, God, you need to have the dew underneath it or wherever. It was a test almost, but it wasn't quite a test. It was just, God, you've got to somehow make it clear to me what your will is. And that was the way that I submitted. Again, guys, this is not biblical. I'm not going to say go home and do likewise. But God answered that prayer far beyond what I was expecting. Now, you might be thinking, wow, that's like fireworks. God put you guys together. Kristen will just naturally fall in love with you. And within a few short months, you're married and having kids. No. I tell you. Well, you know, you've heard that adage, be careful what you pray for. You just might get it. Well, God put me in this situation with Kristen, but I'm telling you, the test had just begun. We did not even begin to court until 2 years later. And it was like emotional torture to see days, months, even go by and not be able to follow through with this, you know, for me at the time, undeniable answer to my prayers. But after 2 years of testing, I finally got on the same page as God. And Kristen said, fine, you know, because she knew I'd been chasing her and there was some all sorts of things going on there. She finally said, fine. She, what did you like to say? You know, I chased you until you caught me. Yeah. And then we began to court and eventually got married. But it was a, you know, 2 year process. So don't be, you know, be slow to say get married. Slow to get married. Take your time. Make sure you know who the other person is. But God answers prayer. Jesus does. You guys, we just can't judge God too quickly. He has the right to say no. He has the right to say later. And he has the full right to say yes, and those are the ones that we more quickly and easily celebrate. But the fact of the matter remains the same. God answers prayer. Jesus answers prayer. Skeptics claim that prayers only get answered approximately 1% of the time. How do they know that? I read that and I go, where do they get off on that figure? They just pull it out of the air. That's hogwash. They have no clue. Guys, Jesus promised to answer prayer, and Jesus delivers on his promises. In fact, we know the very existence of this church in Decorah is as a result of a series of miraculous answers to prayer. But of course, that's a whole different story. For now, just know this. A real superhero answers prayer, and Jesus is that hero. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you care about us. I mean, it's a no-brainer with Easter coming. You died on the cross. What more would you need to do? God, really, honestly, you wouldn't even need to answer prayer, and I would still love and worship you because you gave up your life for me. But what do you say? How would you not, along with Christ, graciously give us all things? And Lord, I have been amazed. In my journey with you so far, how many times you have answered prayers that I thought it was all lost. There's no hope. Or I thought, well, you didn't answer that one. I might as well throw in the towel. And you come through. You come through. You answer prayer. You do the miraculous. And I just want to say thank you, Lord. And I pray that every single person here would have their own journal with their own stories of how God saved the day. And that is my prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hey, guys, do not forget that next week is